Hello, and welcome to A History of Japan. Season 4, Episode 16, Selections from the Manyoshu. The following poems are selected from the massive 20-volume set of poetry called the Manyoshu. At the time of its completion, the word waka was used in Japan to mean any kind of poem. During the Heian period, which we will begin exploring next season, poetry would be split into subgenres according to length and syllabic meter. Generally, the meter in Japanese would be 5-7-5-7-7, and while this rhythm is lost in translation to English, I believe the simplicity and beauty found in these poems stretches beyond their syllabic composition. We'll start with a poem attributed to Empress Genmei, who was alleged to have composed this poem during the official move from the capital of Fujiwara-kyo to Heijo-kyo. Poem number 68. A bird in flight. If the estate of Asuka I should leave behind, then the place you live I will see no more. Poem 588 was composed by Lady Kasa and addressed to Otomo Yakamochi. As a white dove on Toba Mountain's pines, awaiting, have I loved you these many months. Longing for an absent lover was a common theme in Nara period poetry, as demonstrated by this other poem from Lady Kasa. In the loneliness of my heart, I feel as if I should perish, like the pale dewdrop upon the grass of my garden in the gathering shades of twilight. In poem 524, Fujiwara Maro, the youngest of the four Fujiwara brothers, likewise longs for the warmth of his lover. My rainy cloth bedding is soft, and beneath it I lie. Yet, my love, I sleep without you, so my skin does feel the chill. Poet Hanishi Mimichi speaks of the anticipation of longing as he prepares to voyage from his home in Kyushu to the capital in poem 557. As in our great vessel, we set sail out to sea. If we should run into rocks and keel over, then let it be so if it means I can return the sooner, that I may see my love again. Poems also allowed for the composer to express their cheekier sentiments and perhaps allow a glance into their inmost feelings, as demonstrated by Hanishi Mimichi's poem number 558. That offering I made at the holy shrine of the fierce and raging gods, I will be wanting it back, for I was not able to meet my love. Several long poems were composed by Kasa Kanemura, a court poet about whom little is known, unfortunately. Let's hear a few of his hits. Number 935. From Nakizumi, the river port I see, the Isle of Awaji, in the Bay of Matsuho, in the calm at dawn, harvesting jeweled seaweed, in the evening calm, drying seaweed salt, the diver maids are there. I hear, yet to go and see them, I've no reason. So a strong man's heart I do not have. As a tender maid, I feel daunted, circling around, fondly feeling, lacking boat and oars. Number 366 likewise expresses a sense of alienation, which was probably common among the aristocracy whenever they observed the activities of the commoners. By the sea at Koshi, on the beach at Tsunoga, from our great ship we thrust down oars, and on the whale-hunting seaway set our course, as panting, panting, we row on our way at the sturdy man's bay of Taiyui. Diver girls and smoke drying salt. On a grass pillow journey as this, I am alone, and the sight moves me not. The sea god has wrapped around his hand a jeweled cord. Tied to me is my longing for the Isle of Yamato. Number 907 uses natural imagery and almost childlike awestruck wonder. By the waterfall on Mifune Mountain sprout fresh branches, growing packed tightly as the hemlock tree everlasting, a myriad rains, would you rule us? At Yoshino, your dragonfly palace, is it the nature of the gods that it should be a place of awe? Is it the nature of the province that makes me want to see it more? The mountains and river, fresh and pure, no wonder that from the age of gods, a palace was placed here. Number 920 likewise expresses an appreciation for natural beauty that makes me want to go for a renewing mountain hike. The leg-wearying mountains echo with the falling, seething Yoshino River rapids at their clear sight upstream. Again and again, the plovers call. Downstream, frogs sing for a mate. As a multitude of stones, the great courtiers here and there, packed close together. Of the sight, I feel I'll never have my fill. As a jeweled vine, never ending, a myriad rains, I would it were this way. Of heaven and earth, O gods, to you I pray, awestruck though I be. Emperor Shoumu was likewise included in the work, and poem number 1009 is credited to him. O orange tree, fruit and flowers both, and leaves too, even should frost fall on your branches, evergreen will you be. Tachibana Moroe, Emperor Shoumu's loyal Sadaijin, composed poem number 4448 at a party at his son Naramaro's house. As the hydrangeas have eightfold blooms, for eight generations and more, I would have you live, my friend. The sight will ever bring me thoughts of you. For the final poet featured in this special episode, I would like to read several poems from Yamabe Akahito, one of the court poets of Emperor Shoumu, and who would later be selected as one of the 36 immortals of Japanese poetry. We'll start with his shorter poems. Poem 934. In the morning calm, I hear the sound of oars. Tribute-bearing, the fisher folk of Nojima have taken ship, it seems. Poem 1431. On Kudara Plain, in the withered bush clover branches, awaiting spring, as the bush warbler, I wonder if he yet sings. Poem 325. O Asuka River, ever from your pools mist arises, to simply put from my mind this love, I cannot. Poem 324, which is a little bit longer. On the sacred mountain of the gods, with many branches flourishing grow, hemlock trees, all and ever joined with hydrangea, never ending, always there, ever would I be in Asuka, the ancient capital, where mountains mighty and rivers grand do lie. And on spring days it is the mountains I would see, on autumn nights the river, so refreshing. Amongst the morning clouds, the cranes do swoop and soar. The evening mists are noisy with the frogs. The simple sights call forth my tears, while I think on times gone by. Poem 322. Divine, the deity our Lord rules all the land. Hot springs are there many here, on this isle of mountains fair. Here, near the high peaks of Iyo, at Izaniwa Hill he stood, and thought of poetry brought forth. Above the boiling waters, gazing on the groves, where the fir trees have grown thickly, singing, the birds call, ever unchanging, down the distant years, blessed shall be this spot where he has come. This concludes the selections from the Manyoshu, but rest assured there will be more poetry in the seasons to come. Next time, we'll explore the source texts of the Fudoki and the myriad folk tales they contain. Until then, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at @ahistoryofjapan. Visit the online store, ahistoryofjapan.threadless.com, and find us on the web, ahistoryofjapan.com.